Hallelujah. Welcome to Tuesday Night Live. The Word of God is worth the drive, and to God be the glory. Praise God. And how's everybody? I'm sure you're blessed and highly favored and highly flavored. Let's pray. Father, we just give you all glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would bring revelation, confirmation, manifestation, and impartation. Lord, we believe your word, and we believe that everything is associated with your time. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Bring us to the time and truth, and grant us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we may be about your business. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Now listen, first of all, I want to apologize because when we first did this recording and video, it got a little messed up, so I'm going to duplicate what I can for just the first couple scriptures, so please just bear with me. One of the things that we've been talking about has been end time strategies, and in these end time strategies is important because, you know, God is moving, and we want to move exactly with him and how we're supposed to move with him. You know, when he turns left, we want to turn left. When he turns right, we want to turn right. And right now, we know that there's that wave that's been coming across. And we talked about the wave in the wilderness that is going all the way across and bringing people. It's stirring up things. And we got to learn to surf this wave. And it is the presence of God. It is the anointing. We are to become servants of the anointing. Amen. And so in this, by serving the anointing, you'll be led by the Spirit, which will be sons and daughters of God. And you'll know things to come. Remember, the Word of God is three-dimensional. And in the Word of God of three-dimensional, God speaks of present, past, and future. And it is our responsibility to be in the Spirit so we can receive what God has for us. Amen? Let's go to Joel chapter 3 in the book of Joel. That's J-O-E-L. Joel chapter 3. And in verse 9, we're going to start. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Let's read this. In verse 9, proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Everyone say, prepare for war. Praise God. Prepare for war. Why? What war? The war in the Spirit. There's a war going on, if you didn't notice. There's a global war going on right now, and then there's a global war. There's an economic war going on. There's a famine war going on. There's all kinds. There's a pestilence war going on. There's a sickness, a disease. There's a sin war going on right now, globally. Let's go on. So we must prepare for war, not only past, but present and future. We must constantly be ready in season and out and ready to respond, whether to know to sit and wait, whether to know to move, whether to know to warfare in the Spirit. Now, everything is associated with in the Spirit. So when I share with you, it says prepare for war, you must prepare for war in the Spirit. It says, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now, you know, in a physical war, everybody's looking at not the weak, but the strong, aren't they? Because they're looking physically. But see, in the spiritual realm, it isn't about how physically strong you are. It's about how spiritually strong you are. That's why many people are losing the war because they cannot discern or make what is unseen to become seen in their life. And they just think it's them. They hear their own thoughts, think it's just another one of their goofy thoughts. They turn on the TV and watch news broadcasts and believe every news broadcast that there is instead of checking it with the Spirit to know whether it's true or false, because they don't know how to do that. Because they've been taken captivity in this war. And please understand, the purpose of this war, it's over souls. And souls that are, our warfare right now in the Spirit is to rescue the souls that have been taken captive and prevent souls from being taken captive. Are you listening? Rescuing souls that have been taken captive and prevent souls from being taken captive and maintaining our freedom right now and maintaining truth. So let's go on a little further. In verse 11, It says, assemble and come all you nations and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Prepare for war. This in preparation of war, we know that there's this wave, and I want to share a little bit more about this wave, because this wave is called the wave of revolution. It is causing people to turn around and to follow justice. Not follow justification and false promises, but it is causing people to turn around and follow justice. This preparing for war is so important. This wave of revolution is not only in this country, but it is globally. I'm sharing with you again, this is globally. You can see all nations begin to rise up. You know, one of the things I want to share, which is important here, is the area where human rights are being violated globally. And people are beginning to stand up against this. They're revolutioning. They're preparing for war. They're in a revolutionary status right now. Even in Iran and many of these other countries and nations, the people are standing up. You know why? Because they're tired of being mistreated. It's like we have a right to be human, and it's actually being taken away. Their right to be human is taken away. In other words, in moral standards, I mean, women are being abused, men are being abused, children are being abused. People are losing their rights. And some people have never had them in other nations. And this wave of revolution is causing people to stand up and say, you know what? I'm not taking this no more. I'm tired of being mistreated this way. I am a human, and I have been granted by God to live in this realm, but knowing that there is another realm. And people are just being mistreated. And again, I want to share, it's not just in this country where this wave of revolution is happening. It is globally. And it's important for us to understand this. And I really believe in this wave of revolution that God is doing something powerful. He is imparting boldness to his people. All, remember, God created everything. He created all humans. Nothing comes in this world without God creating them. He is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of time. He's the creator of everything, and nobody created God. Hello. He is God, and that's why we call him God. It's because he created. But we know that Jesus came into the natural realm, and by doing this, he who was God was Jesus, and he brought the truth. But there's something need left for me in you, and that is his blood and his spirit. His blood and his spirit. And his spirit guides us to all truth. So please grab hold of this today in this wave of revolution that you're seeing happen globally. It is because God is allowing this to happen, because it's causing an awakening. And it's like we're awakening to this war. We're seeing this war. People are becoming more sensitive to this affliction that's happening, and seeing things that are just not right. Just not right. But I'm telling you, God's going to eventually make it right. But it takes the believer, it takes the body of Christ to stand firm, because we are the children of the Most High God. And it's our responsibility as the body of Christ to declare the truth and to stand in boldness. Not only is this boldness being released in the natural realm, but it's being released in the spiritual realm. Now, in this wave, the wave of revolution, there's always a message in this wave. And what it does is this message causes individuals to become messengers. Turn to Malachi 3. Oh, this is good. Grab holds. Buckle up. Climb aboard and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's read this. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. As soon as I get it out of Matthew, I'll get to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure in the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, in the former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, and against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they did not fear me, says the Lord. See, one of the things that's happening right now is people are beginning to sense another reverence. There's something that's stirring in their spirit. See, everybody was brought into this world believing that there was a God. If God created you, that within your spirit, there's an arena that there is a God. And people who say that there's not a God, they just don't want to believe that there's a God. But within their spirit, there's a conscious, there's a witness that there is a living God. And so many people just want to cop out and say, well, there's just no God. I just don't believe in God. Well, they're just idiots. Don't worry about it. But anyways, in that, there truly is a God. And everyone of us who's born into this natural realm has some sort of a reverence to God. Many people call higher power or something that they can't understand until they finally meet him. But see, what happens is because they did not fear God, they did not give him honor, they did not reverence him, nor they did respect him. And I'm talking about and how individuals live. Let's go on, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? That's a wild question, isn't it? Will a man rob God? I mean, who would want to rob God? You'd have to be a real bonehead to even think about robbing God. Yet you have robbed me, says the Lord. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And the Lord says, in tithes and offerings. Say what? Tithes and offerings. Now, tithe is your 10% you give to God, and offerings above your 10%. But he says you've robbed him from it. Listen, does God need your money? Well, you know, he doesn't need your money. But we need your money. The body of Christ needs your money. People need to be fed, don't they? You have to buy food. You have to buy clothes. You have to buy buildings to shelter people. You have to buy Bibles. You have to buy all kinds of other things to maintain so that information, truth, and freedom is brought forth, because freedom is learned. We go into the jails and we bring Bibles and we bring teachings and we bring videos. We bring an overhead projector. We provide a sound system in there for people to worship and to get in God's presence. But without people tithing and offering, how would we be able to do that? And God says, listen, you're robbing me because you're not providing for my local fellowships to be able to provide for those who are in need. And you know, the thing is, and God isn't trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something to you. Because as you tithe and offer, you are sowing in the kingdom of God, and it's better than buying stock. And verse 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. What's a storehouse? It's the fellowship. It's the churches. It's the ministries. That there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven. How many of y'all want the windows of heaven open? Well, hallelujah. Then you better start sowing. and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Well, you may think that they're going free now, but they ain't going free. God sees it all. Just because they're blessed, people always associate materialism with being blessed. That's not true. And I'm not saying God doesn't bless you with materialism, but that materialism is not just to build your own empire. That materialism is to expand the kingdom of God. But the greatest thing that we can be blessed with is the presence of God, the riches and the knowledge of his truth, and fellowship with the eternal creator of all things. That is the greatest blessing. And the greatest blessing above that is to know that what you're doing is pleasing God. Are you listening? I want to read verse 15 again. So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free, but I'm telling you, they will not go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Those who what? Feared the Lord, reverence, honored, and respect him. So a book of remembrance was written before him. See, there is a book of remembrance. He knows it all, but you don't. So when you stand before him, he'll pull out that book of remembrance, and you'll be judged by what you've done. For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. How many of y'all want to be a jewel of the Lord? Praise God, a precious jewel. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked. You'll discern between the what? Righteous and the wicked. And between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Wow. See, this wave of revolution is exposing. And here is this area. You know, there are many people who say and talk about God, but they don't serve him. There's a lot of talkers, but not many servers. There's a lot of people who are concerned, but not committed. Are you listening? Are you one of these? Are you one that just talks? Are you one that's concerned, but you're not a server and you're not a committer? Why? Because a committer tithes and offers. A committer is a servant of the Lord. A committer does not have, they don't fight for their life. They fight for the life of Christ. You must discern whether you're a committer or just a concerner, whether you are a servant or a talker. Are you listening? And that's one of the things in this wave of revolution. God is separating. He's exposing. Things are turning up. You know, when a wave goes across, the bottom part gets turned up, the soil, and the top part, the wave is cruising, and anything in its way, unless you can catch it, will cause it to be destroyed or cause it to stumble. Cause it to what? Stumble. So in this wave of revolution, there is a message and it's causing messengers to carry this message. It's a place where people are being caused to turn away to follow justice. Something's not right and a wave of revolution is exposing it. And I'm sharing with you in this wave that is, we are in right now. The messenger is the Holy Spirit. And he has been preparing a way for the Lord. He is testing the sons of men and what they offer to him. We have opportunities now. There is an opportunity to change and receive and to expose one who serves God and one who speaks of God. Are you listening? There's the one who serves God, and there's the one who speaks of God. And that's what's being exposed in a great way right now in this wave. There are a lot of people who talk about God, make big promises about God, but they don't serve Him because they've not denied themselves yet. In 1 John chapter 3, there are many who are concerned, but not many who are committed. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. Everyone say, the world doesn't know me. Because it doesn't know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin or obeys sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteousness, just as He is righteous. In other words, practices. He may speak that he is righteous. He may proclaim that he is righteous. He may have intentions that he is righteous. But if he does not practice it, he is not righteous. He says he knows God. He talks about God. But he doesn't serve God. Because you'll know them by their fruit. He who sins is of the devil. Whoa. Meaning there are those who are saying that they're believers, but they're really from the devil? Yes. Very simple. Word believe means to follow. If you're not a follower, you're a liar, and the devil has a hold on you. So you need to go through deliverance. You need to get free. Remember, who you serve when you die is where you go, right? He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That word might means that you cooperate with God, and He'll destroy the works of the devil in your life. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. It is a state of being, born again. That's where the Bible says, He who is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. It is a state of being. It's a representation of the three chambers of the tabernacle. For his sin remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Children of God are in his image and likeness. The children of the devil are in his image and likeness. The Bible tells us that things will grow worse. So that means that they're being more and more exposed, aren't they? In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 4, would you read it? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if an individual doesn't want to hear what you are saying about God, they're not of God, are they? They're not servants of God. They're servants of the devil. It's real simple. There is no gray area. It's black or white. It's either darkness and deception, or it's light and truth. So everybody got it? Whoever hears us is of God, and whoever doesn't hear us is of the devil. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. In these last days and critical times that we're in, perilous times, which things are going to constantly increase. Of course, there'll be more lies being portrayed, more false hopes, more antichrist, more false prophets, all of these other things that are going to bring forth an arena that will say peace, 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 and then sudden destruction. That's according to the word. In Matthew 22, in verse 15, then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? That's my dad. Doesn't take no garbage from no demon. Show me the tax money, he says. So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they were marveled and left him and went their way. In other words, they didn't know what else to say. But you and I are to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but what of God, what is of God, not to Caesar. Are you listening to me? We are to render what is Caesar's, but we are not to render what is God's to Caesar. And this is where the rising is coming. This is where the wave of revolution is happening. This is where the body of Christ is being awakened and rising up and saying, I'm not going to take this anymore. The body of Christ is awakening mighty, mighty, and mighty. God is releasing boldness. People are going to jail right now. You know that, don't you? For preaching certain things. It's already happening in this country. You can find these things on the internet. They're taking away nonprofit statuses and all kinds of other things. They've created hate crimes now that if you speak against homosexuality or whatever, they call it hate crimes. If you reject someone because of their sexual preferences, businesses can be sued. So where's the freedom? It's slowly being diminished. We can't send our children to public schools anymore. It's difficult. Because they promote witchcraft, teach that same-sex marriage is okay, and they don't promote submission to parents. They'd rather promote submission to a teacher or a political arena. Are you listening? These are happening in schools. They can promote the arena of horoscopes, Ouija boards, but not Jesus. They promote Buddha, Muhammad, and every other pagan worship God, but not Jesus. They've taken prayer out of public school. And of course, they're trying to remove the Pledge of Allegiance in the arena In God We Trust. All of these things that are manifesting right now is overwhelming that we would be alive and see this type of thing happen in this country. But if the whole arena is in fulfillment of prophecy and the force to be established by one world order. Are you listening? So we are to render to Caesar's what is Caesar's. So you're to pay your taxes. But you're not to give the things and moral ethics and godly living to Caesar. That's God's, not Caesar's. Are you listening? Let's go to Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. Wave of revolution. Acts 4. Let's go to 13. Now when they saw the boldness, they say the boldness. What did they see? Boldness. No, fear didn't take no garbage either to Jesus. He called a hypocrite a hypocrite. He called a Pharisee and a hypocrite. He didn't take no garbage. He exposed it. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. It's amazing. They didn't go to their colleges. They didn't get trained up by carnality. These men were trained up by the Spirit of the living God. But they carried a boldness, an honesty, the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a noble miracle has been done through them and is definite evidence to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." Sound familiar? So they called them and commanded them not to speak to at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. The challenge against the working of Satan in individuals' life is getting greater. The Bible tells us that they're going to come against you in the area of walking uprightly, of being boldness. You will be persecuted, ridiculed, and condemned. All of these things are coming about more and more and more. You're finding people being exposed that were supposedly believers who spoke of God but never really served Him because of the wave that we're in right now. It's a wave of revolution. And those who are willing to humble themselves and become servants of God will turn and catch the wave. And those who reject will be tumbled by it and exposed. But again, I want to share with you that there is an awakening happening. The body of Christ is arising. Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Then he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes, everyone say eyes, of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your what? In your hearing." One of the things that he expressed in the area of recovery of sight to the blind. This wave, again, is by the Holy Spirit that will cause a holy revolution. It is an awakening and a boldness because of the life of lies and deceptions that has been proclaimed and portrayed in this country. Not only in this country, but globally. Has everybody got it? This move is going to be a boldness. It is an awakening of the body of Christ. They are beginning to rise up. It is a revolution wave where people are going to turn and stand bold like they've never stood bold before. Amen. Those that you always looked at them as wimpy Christians are going to stand up. Because if they're going to either come out of wimpiness or get run over. In the book of Revelation in chapter 3. You may find yourself being bolder now than you've been before. You can look back a couple months ago and find yourself being bolder now than you were before. Looking for someone to tell the truth. Than you were. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Yeah. In verse 18. Jesus said something awesome. He said, I counsel you to buy from me what? Gold. In other words, truth. Refined in the fire. That you may be rich in white garments. That you may be clothed. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your what? Eyes with eye salve. That you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be what? Zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, anointing the eyes to see. See, you first must buy truth. So you can see. It's already got it. By practicing truth, you're able to see. There's a lot of people out there who know truth but don't practice it. That's because they're still blind. Only by practicing the truth can you see. Go to Proverbs 23. Wave of revolution. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Would you read it with me? It says what? Buy the truth and do not sell it. In other words, don't exchange it. Many people have bought the truth and have exchanged it for a lie. But I'm telling you what Jesus does. He'll take your lie and give you the truth. He'll take your lie. He'll buy your lie. Are you listening? Just to get you the truth. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. In this wave, as the anointing begins to break more and more yoke, you will be able to make what is unseen to become seen, and God will release new vision. There'll be new vision being released in this wave. Well, the vision that you've had been limited, now it'll be expanded. There are those areas where you've had vision already that has brought you to a place, but that vision is time to be released so that the new vision comes forth to bring you to the next place, the next level, the next boldness, the next position. Is everybody with me? Buy the truth. Purchase the truth with exchange of lies. Give God the lies and he'll give you the truth. In John 10. In John chapter 10. In verse 7. Are y'all getting this? End time strategies. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In other words, Jesus came to give his life. Are you listening? To give his life, not the life of Caesar, right? He came to give his life. Not the life of Pharaoh. Not the life of Satan. He came to give his life to you. Do you get this? He came to give his life to you. Not for you, to you. See, we keep looking in the arena of what Jesus has done for me. But see, he came to give his life to you so that you and I carry the life of Christ. He didn't just do it for me. He came to give me his life. That's where Paul said he wanted to be in a place where it was no longer him that lived, but Christ that lived. So he didn't come to just give his life. Are you listening? He came to give his life to you. Individually to you. That his life could be expressed and lived out on this earth. That's why it's called the body of Christ. So that the head could be reunited with the body. Known as the rapture. Hallelujah. Go to James chapter 1. Wave of revolution. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed, everyone say blessed. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who what? To those who love him. So blessed are those who endure temptation. Blessed are those who reject the temptations and the desires of this world. Blessed are those who reject the approval of gay marriage. Blessed are those who reject abortion. Blessed are those. Are you listening? Blessed are those who reject the ridiculous spending of our government. Blessed are those, are you listening, who reject the arena of misuse of your money. Blessed are those. I want to share something very important. Do you know that a dollar bill is an IOU? Do you know that paper money is nothing but an IOU? That's all it is. It really has no value. It's just an IOU. So they print more and more and more and more money. That's all it is an IOU. So when you go purchase something, you go, I owe you. Why? Because they owe me. So everybody owes everybody, but nobody has anything to give. Just a bunch of IOUs. Bank certificates. All of these things are nothing but IOU. There is no value in them at all. So this, we're all passing around IOUs with no value behind it. Because there isn't enough gold to promote or satisfy all of the IOUs. Do you understand that? Are you listening? Blessed are those who reject one world order. Blessed are those who reject the mark of the beast. Blessed are those who speak out against ungodliness. Blessed are those. Are you listening? Do you know, there's so much exposure right now, it's phenomenal. Even with the global warming stuff. Now they're finding out it's all been a lie. Somebody hacked into their computers. It's all been a lie. More and more truth is coming more and more to the surface. Do you understand? And because of this, more and more things are being exposed, because the Bible tells us that darkness will be exposed by the what? Light. Why is this happening? The wave of revolution. Are you listening? It's turning things around and bringing things to the surface. And this is all done by the hand of God. Everything that you're seeing right now, because God will never leave his children in the dark. He'll never leave them without knowing what's going on. So you're seeing all of this exposure happening. All of these things are happening because your Father loves us so much that he wants us to know and be prepared and in position for what's going on, and he's releasing that boldness to stand strong. Blessed is he who endures temptation. Of course, it is temptation is enticement to sin or to believe the lies of the life of this world through thoughts and deeds or words. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, would you go there, please? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we're getting divine information so that we can help others, can't we? So they don't go out and get sucked in. When they say, there's a great deal now on these bonds. Man, I'm telling you, the highest deal ever on bonds. Don't buy no bonds. Don't buy no stock. Why? Because it's an IOU. Everything will collapse. It's just a matter of time. See, they're trying, and I'm sharing this with you because this is Satan's kingdom that's behind everything. Do you understand that? This is Satan's kingdom that is trying to convince mankind that what goes up stays up. He's trying to convince mankind that there is no gravity. He's trying to force his kingdom and force everyone into his kingdom right now. And anyone who rejects his receiving of his kingdom will be persecuted. He uses media. He uses propaganda. He uses newspapers, articles, books. And now he's using education in our own schools. You can step back and just begin to review what's been going on in the last 10 years. These are not men. These are demons that are using these men and women and so forth to promote Satan's kingdom. Do you understand that? In verse 3, would you read it with me? You therefore must endure what? Hardship as a what? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Does everybody see that? So in other words, what he's saying, don't entangle yourselves in the affairs of this life. In other words, don't get so caught up in this life that all of your dependency is on this life, your bank account, your job, and so forth. Because one day it's going to all go. Then what will you do? In other words, anyone that is engaged or caught up in the arena of life, this life, and trying to do all kinds, they're so busy with this life, they'll be defeated trying to do warfare. Why? Because they won't stay prayed up, filled up, and stay in position. In Hebrews 11, the cares of this life should be cast onto the Lord. In Hebrews 11, the victory is already ours. The battle has already been won. Now we just got to walk it out. But while we're walking it out, we want to rescue as many people as possible. In Hebrews chapter 11, is everybody there? And verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And choosing rather to what? Suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, which means the world. For he looked to the reward. Does everybody see that? He looked to what? His eternal reward. Do you understand that? In other words, he was willing to suffer whatever it was to with the people of God. He was willing to take the persecution. He was willing to do whatever to stand up against the lies and deception because he knew the truth. And that's where God is bringing us, in the arena of standing up and being bold with the truth. Being willing to suffer with the people of God than the people of the world. Are you listening? He was willing to remove himself from pleasures of sin and suffer with the people of God. So in this message, the wave of revolution that brings this message, it is a fresh message, is an encouraging message, and it's releasing boldness to his people. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, please understand, okay? In this war, remember that it is not a physical war, so I'm not trying to encourage anyone, or I'm not even telling you to go out and buy grenades, machine guns, bazookas, you know, bombs, and all kinds of other physical weaponry. Our weaponry is not physical, it is spiritual. And you must remember that the individuals that have been taken captive are being used by Satan's kingdom. Satan is the ruler of this earth. And his kingdom. And he has demons and demonic forces that are influencing individuals to serve him. All the way from president, all the way down. There are many pawns and there are many gophers of Satan's kingdom. And people aren't even being used that don't even know they're being used. That's why the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. And even some of his servants are false ministers of righteousness. But without being in the spirit, how would you know? So you sit in front of the TV and listen to all of this other garbage and lies and deceptions and false promises, but can't even discern right. And then you get sucked up in it, and then you wonder why things aren't happening. Look at, nothing's changed. The only thing that has changed is when you begin to get in the spirit, you change. Nothing's going to get any better. Things are going to continually get worse. There will never be a fulfillment of peace until the Prince of Peace steps his feet on this earth. So don't be deceived. Don't be one that needs to be rescued. But become a rescuer by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, where God can move through you. So it's our responsibility to stay positioned, to stay filled up, prayed up. It's our responsibility to stand firm, stand for truth as a messenger and an expression of God's love, because we are to express God's love. Even Jesus warned us. He said, many will come before me saying, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that and whatever. But he said, listen, I don't know you because you practice lawlessness. But he says, true relationship carries a compassion in the heart of Christ in love. We don't not only feed, clothe, and shelter those who are in need, but we also love them. We don't do things that are grudgingly. We do things out of a pure heart, a joyful heart. So one of the greatest examples that you can be to anyone is how your conduct is in expressing the love of God. You can't tell somebody the truth without walking in the truth. Walking in the truth means you're walking in perfect love and you carry a pure heart and a humble spirit. People begin to recognize that. They see that you're different during trials and tribulations and troubles. They see how you respond. You don't react, you respond because you're being led by the Spirit of the living God. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, would you turn with me, please? It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having what? Compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and what? Pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Amen. You stand strong. You stand boldness no matter what. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With what? Meekness and fear, which is reverence, honor, and respect to the Lord. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be what? Ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for what? Doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. What was he doing? When he went to hell, he even spoke to the spirits in prison. They give them an opportunity to escape. Why? Because he was the messenger. He was the messenger, and you and I are to carry the message now. The message of boldness, the message of truth, the message of love, the message of compassion, the message that there is a way of escape, the message that everybody looks for as they come into this planet. Everyone born here says, who am I, why am I here, and where am I going? Well, you can carry that message, and you can carry the message of encouragement so individuals can be discipled by the truth. And by being discipled by the truth, they will carry truth and become a messenger also. To God be the glory. Let's go on now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful. So if God can do it for us, can he do it for them? Amen. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of what? Of any. Foods for the stomach, and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who joins to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought. Everyone say, I was bought. At a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ephesians 5. Is everybody there? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Let's read it together. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Do what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with what? The Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the what? Fear of God. In the what? In the fear of God. And I want to read something to you out of this book. Because one of the things that we had talked about last time is the difference between democracy and a republic. And then I want to go to this other thing, but I want to share this with you. A democracy can last as long and until a majority of the people discover they can vote themselves large gifts out of the public treasury. They will continue to elect politicians promising the most, with the end result being a fall of the democracy due to economic ruin and chaos. History shows us that our founding fathers gave us a republic, which is a rule by law. The law was to protect the individual. The republic was simply a collective force of individuals to protect the individual's right to life, liberty, and property, which is, you know, being taken right now, isn't it? Our founding fathers gave us a republic because they knew very well that a democracy was simply a temporary and transitional form of government on the way to totalitarian government. Those founding fathers were freedom-loving people who wanted to avoid all forms of state monopoly, such as communism, Nazism, fascism, and even socialism. What is the driving force behind our political and economic system? It is simply money. Are you listening? It is simply what? Money. Wow. Money. Money is what drives everything now, isn't it? Politicians, everything. It's not, you know, I haven't seen anyone fulfill the promises that they said they were going to yet. The only one that's going to fulfill the promises, the true politician, Jesus. But he's the government himself. And in so doing, there has been a Manhattan Declaration. It is a call of Christians' conscience that has come up. It's very powerful. And these are all powerful believers that have come together and are standing up right now. It's called the Manhattan Declaration, a call of Christian conscience. It's an awakening. It's a part of the wave of revolution that has come up. And you can look it up. I want to read a little bit of what they've shared because it really impressed me. It says, in recent decades, a growing body of case law has paralleled the decline in respect for religious values in the media, the academy, and the political leadership, resulting in restrictions on the free exercise of religion. We view this as an ominous development, not only because of its threat to the individual liberty guaranteed to every person, regardless of his or her faith, but because the trend also threatens the common welfare and culture of freedom on which our system of republican government is founded. As Christians, we take seriously the biblical aspects to respect and obey those in authority. We believe in the law and in the rule of law. We recognize the duty to compel with laws whether we happen to like them or not. The biblical purpose of law is to preserve order and serve justice and common good. Yet laws that are unjust, and especially laws that promote or to compel citizens to do what is unjust, undermine the common good rather than serve it. Because we honor justice and common good, we will not comply with any edit that promotes or to compel our institutions to participate in abortions, embryo-destructive research, assisted suicide, euthanasia, or any other anti-life act. Nor will we bend to any rule promoting or supporting to force us to bless immoral sexual partnerships, treat them as marriages or equivalent, or refrain from proclaiming the truth as we know it about morality, about immorality, marriage, and family. We will fully, ungrudgingly render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but under no circumstances will we render to Caesar what is God's. This is a declaration that has been signed by many believers globally. Are you listening? And in this, you can find us on the website. It's called Manhattan Declaration, A Call of Christian Conscience. So I encourage you to look it up. It's going all over the body of Christ. People are saying, in other words, they're standing up now, aren't they? They're saying, listen, we're not gonna take this any longer. We're not going to promote it. You're not going to take my money to kill children. Or you're not going to take my IOU, you know. We are in perilous times. Things are happening. And there is a wave of revolution that is occurring. We are in it. And we want to stay on that wave and catch it all the way to the removal of the body of Christ. But in the meantime, we want to bring as many people home as possible. The Bible tells us that we're to submit to ordinances, and you are. We do. We pay taxes. We do what's supposed to be right according to what has been ordained. But then there's an area that you must stand up for truth. You must stand up for truth. And in that, there are organizations and so forth. There are places where women come in who are pregnant. And they don't beat the word on them or anything, but they share with them that there is another alternative. There's another alternative instead of having an abortion, but have that child adopted or so forth. And you know, there are many people who've come to the Lord after having abortions and regretted it and realizing the truth. But thank God for God's forgiving power. For every one of us that had some part of something that has caused problems, death, hurt, or pain in our past life. But thank God we've got a brand new life. For he who is in Christ is a new creation. And old things have passed away and all things have become new. But what we want to do is stand firm and stand strong in the anointing. Not as a servant of the enemy, but as a servant of the Lord, willing to deny ourselves and willing to die. One day the Lord took me in the spirit, and I was on a horse in the ocean. And I was riding on this horse, and he brought me up to a naval vessel And on the side of the naval vessel, there was a hole in it. And me and the horse began to hit the hole in the naval vessel to bend back up the metal. And then we started off again. And a voice came from heaven and he said, "Will you die for me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord." And the horse took off. Oof. Went between two destroyers and started heading towards the Gulf. And in that, it began to rain oil. And I began to suffocate. And I woke up. And about 2 months later, I read about, and then on the news, I saw the ship that was hit by Yemen. Remember that? When the people were, some of those sailors were killed and so forth. What was it? The what? The coal? Where they'd sent, bombs or whatever in a boat and it hit the side. And I remember the Lord sharing, when I saw that, I thought, "Man, Lord, you showed me this." And he refrained again and held back and then said, "Will you die for me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord." And the dying is the arena of dying to yourself. Will you die to yourself for him? That's why Jesus said it. He commanded it. Anyone desiring to follow me must deny himself. In other words, he's saying, "Will you die for me?" I'm going to close at Matthew 24 in verse 36. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Would you read it with me? "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that Noah entered the ark." Now you got to remember, during that period of time, the earth was full of wickedness. Homosexuality, sodomites, everything. And that's when it says they were giving in marriage. That's exactly what's happening now. It is like the flood, that wave that is coming. The wave that we're in will continue to increase. "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." That flood is the wave. "Then the two men will be in a field, one will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, the other be left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed for revelation and updating us. We ask that you'll continue to keep us in position, that you'll keep us humble, keep us alert, and grant us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to receive what your Spirit says. I pray a blessing over each and every one here today, Lord, and I thank you for the impartation of boldness to stand, to expose, and to fight for the truth, for your presence, and for your will, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.